The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1067. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
The SEC has begun speaking on Brendan Sorsby and Auburn football's heater in recruiting. It's the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton.
Man, what a great day to have a great day it is here on ESPN 106.7, the Tuesday edition of On the Line here. Trip Upton, Christian Griffin here in the ESPN 106.7 studio, and my goodness, a whole lot to get to on the show here this afternoon. Because of a whole lot of content, a whole lot dancing around Auburn athletics, and a whole lot going around in Auburn, Alabama as well. Trip, my man, happy Tuesday. Hope all is well in your world. It's been a long day of us spending a lot of time here together this afternoon.
And that's not a problem whatsoever. Happy Tuesday. A lot of work around the station today, helping our good buddy Brandon with some stuff out as well. He was helping me.
No, it can't be our good buddy Brent.
I can't pass that on now.
You can't pass the nickname over.
Fine. Well, yeah. Well, we were working on some stuff this morning, and then it's all hands on deck trying to continue to make Auburn Network and ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader.
I mean, my goodness, what a way to do so here this afternoon. We mentioned it a whole lot that we're going to dive into here on the show. We appreciate everybody for being here with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Again, he is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. And happy Tuesday, everybody. A beautiful day, one that you were a little bit worried about this past weekend, rather, in hopes of what today holds, of the fear of it possibly not working out. But don't use me as your trusted weatherman. We've told you that plenty of times. But hopefully everything works its way and stays away from Auburn, Alabama for a historic night inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. That is a lot of what hour number two is going to look like here this afternoon. We have two wonderful guests joining us that are not our usual guests, but ones that with a day like today, ever so important that you have to continue to get as much knowledge as you possibly can in terms of the road to 26, Argentina and Iceland. We will have more information on that here kind of as the show goes on, and we're going to dive into a whole lot of that will consume hour number two. But my goodness, a whole lot to get to here in hour number one. You heard it in the introduction. The SEC has officially begun speaking in terms of what they are doing in result, I guess you could say, of what Brendan Sorsby's case has worked its way down to. Not necessarily the SEC as a whole, but a specific athletic department that has taken the first step, and one that you think of maybe representing the SEC as a whole in terms of the success that they have had over the past couple of years, especially on the football field. We're also going to dive into at what point do we decide to point the finger elsewhere, right? I mean, Texas Tech, Brendan Sorsby are obviously the ones to be blamed right now, and the NCAA in there as well, but they're the ones that are powerless, and so I don't know if many people are truly pointing finger at them unless that just comes with laughter to follow. But at what point do we begin pointing the finger at professional sports and at the gambling side of things? There's an article from Cornell that we were able to dive into and kind of dissect that opens our eyes in terms of what gambling meant even just half a decade and a decade ago in the professional world, and now working its way into college athletics, and the fact that nobody can really sit there and say, what? No, wait, you guys are gambling? I don't believe that whatsoever. So a whole lot to dive into on that side of things. And then Auburn football just on an absolute heater when it comes to recruiting. Seven commits in the last 10 days. Auburn gets another one yesterday, and they are in prime position for another one tomorrow. And we will dive all into that here in hour number one. Looking forward to a really good show.
Right. It's going to just be some absolute heavy hitters. And a little tease hour number two, if you're a football fan, maybe not a football fan, but I'm sure you would enjoy it if you are a football fan. I know we did. But a football fan, you might want to tune into hour number two. We got some really good stuff coming for you, previewing tonight's game between Argentina and Iceland.
Yeah, a historic night inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. Auburn, Alabama will be on the global stage, and we'll continue to tell you more about that as the show goes along. The phone lines are open for the first hour of today's show. If you would like to be a part of it, 334-321-1390. Get the phone lines lighting up here on this Tuesday afternoon. And for those that were not a part of the show yesterday, that were not aware of the text box change, we are continuing to work our way towards getting that promoted with our intro and on some of the returns as well. But again, we had to send that out a couple of weeks ago before the official statement of Jacob Goins stepping aside and moving on. We thought there was going to be a much more smooth, a much more simple transition to keep the text box. And so the text box, if you would like to reach out and connect with us, the text box is always open at 334-784-1OTL. 1OTL, the letters right there. 334-784-1685. But again, the phone lines are open at 334-321-1390 for the first hour of today's show. If you have thoughts on the entire Brendan Sorsby situation, what your overall thoughts are in terms of college sports, in terms of what Texas Tech needs to do, the Big 12 needs to do, or what the SEC needs to do, and that is where we start the show here today, because there have been talks, and we got to talk a little bit about this on yesterday's show, Trip, about the athletic departments and the ADs coming together and having conversations on whether or not they should schedule Texas Tech in the future, not just on the football side of things, but on every single sport. And for those that may have missed any sort of news, Brendan Sorsby has been one of the biggest talking points over the past couple of days in terms of the star, the $5 million man from Indiana, and then making the transfer to Cincinnati, and now making his way to Texas Tech. Again, $5 million man. The NIL deal that he received has now confirmed and admitted to $90,000 of bets being wagered over the past 2 to 3 years, going all the way back, I guess even further than that, to when he was a freshman at Indiana. Did not appear in any games, but wagered over $90,000 and placed over like 2,300 bets. And so after being ruled ineligible, has now been deemed eligible by a very friendly court in Texas.
What? Wait, you can just do that?
Oh yeah, you didn't hear about the news to where it doesn't matter how many no's you get, as long as you are told yes once, that's officially all that matters.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
And so Brendan Sorsby, after again the NCAA closing the book on Sorsby having any sort of eligibility, Texas Tech basically walked up to a judge in Lubbock, Texas, and said, "Please,
please."
Our quarterback, this guy right here, he doesn't really have a true problem unless you tell him no, because then we have evidence that he will. But we really, really want him to play, and he'll be negatively impacted if he doesn't play. And the judge said, "Ah, all right, twist my arm. That's fine. Here, I'm just gonna happen to leave my wallet right here if you just want to happen to make it a little bit fatter for me. Also, Mr. Sorsby, if you don't mind sticking out your hands, slap your wrist. Okay, there's once. Okay, there's twice. You can't play in the first two games. Abilene Christian and Oregon State are just not going to have to see Brendan Sorsby on the field." And so all of that was the big conversation yesterday. But as we were going off air, and it's more information has been released here this morning into this afternoon, it's begun working its way throughout separate conferences.
Right. You saw reports on yesterday's show that the Big 12 athletic departments were meeting and saying, hey, if they're just going to get a loyal son of Lubbock to be the judge to overrule the NCAA, then and they are going to skirt the rules in the partnership of the NCAA, then maybe we shouldn't play Texas Tech in any sport, not just the football team, because what happens when they start doing this for basketball? What happens when they start doing it for baseball? You know, you see in softball, notice how their program just magically goes to the national championship after being a okay program. I don't think that's just because of Jason Williams' daughter. And then it spread. It first went to the Southeast with Georgia. Josh Brooks sending out a memo that was obtained that said, hey, if you have any future plans of playing Texas Tech, scrap them or come talk to me. And you saw it in Nebraska. You heard big rumors of Big Ten and the athletic directors wanting to talk about it again. It's just a frustrating thing when, you know, it's just so blatant that they have skirted the rules, you know, with Charles Bediako, and that is a similar case. But I think with Bediako, it's a gray area.
Yeah.
He technically could qualify, and there wasn't really any rules about it in there. Or, for example, if anything happens because of this blind transfer with Pete Golding, again, another gray area technicality that then was straightened out by the rules officials. Gambling as a college athlete on college athletics has been illegal since day one in every sporting league, specifically the NCAA, where in certain states, you're not allowed to do that, period. But need I remind you? And instead it's, well, yeah, we know it's illegal, but like, have you seen this transfer portal class? Oh, here, go Red Raiders. Guns up, buddy.
I mean, it's ridiculous. You go and you happen to drive past a crime scene and you see the caution tape that's bright yellow and black that says, do not enter. There's not really any gray area on that side of things. If you walk into it, what's going to happen? You're going to get in trouble. That's exactly what the gambling side of things. You mentioned the gray area. There's been a little bit with these rule changes and with the current lay of the land in terms of college athletics, but betting on games and fixing games and just wagering on not only college athletics, but your own team and taking the unders on a couple of your own team players, it's never, ever been allowed. And I understand if Texas Tech is not the one that deserves the blame just because of, okay, well, at what point does tampering and that side of money come into play? Because not all teams are, there are no teams that are innocent on that side of things. But that argument, man, is just so, so different. The ACC commissioner, Jim Phillips, told ESPN that the ruling represents a, quote, horrendous pattern that is, quote, eroding the integrity of our process and our sports. You then go look at the Big 12 athletic director that told ESPN they are disgusted and saying that we have officially lost our soul. TCU coach Sonny Dykes told ESPN, how is anyone ever going to trust the outcome of a game again? And man, that is a really, really good topic of conversation, because my goodness, that's been really talked about but thrown under the rug for so many years, just in terms of, man, you're telling me all of a sudden this dude who had 25 points at halftime finishes with 27. Huh. He only decided to shoot the ball twice in the second half. Or, huh, man, that error just looked a little bit more casual than it needed to, but it's just always been, it's sports. You know what happens. Players are humans and everybody makes mistakes. But now that you're seeing stuff like this work its way to the forefront of the sports that we know and love, my God, I mean, you sit there and you go back and you look at every single outcome of every single game and go, huh, could there possibly have been money put on this game with one of these players or one of these coaches or one of these teams? And I think a majority of the time the answer is no, at least in terms of illegally. Yet that being said, I mean, you're seeing videos of guys on social media that are sitting there. You see them on the sideline saying, guys, we have to cover. We have to score another touchdown because we have to cover. And that's always been joked about. But my goodness, you've made it about as far as you can, and everybody seems to be in the same boat of, holy cow, this is a 100% negative. And now you are seeing, you mentioned it, the Georgia athletic director basically saying, we are not going to schedule Texas Tech for anything in the future. Big Ten officials are now expected to discuss anything over the next couple of days about a league-wide mandate to not schedule the Red Raiders in any sport for the regular season.
Right, you know who suffers the most in this is the fans. Look at Texas Tech. I Texas Tech fans are going to embrace this. They're going to say, we're the villains.
I saw a joke on X, formerly known as Twitter, talking about, like, man, everybody should love Texas Tech because we just speed ran the death of the NCAA. Everybody's been trying for years, and look, we did it in like 3 days.
Right, you know, but it hurts when their fan base, because what happens when the, like, there's a situation where, hey, Texas Tech can no, yeah, they went 10-2, they lost two games. Maybe they lose the two games if Brendan Swords wasn't playing, but I doubt that's going to happen because they'll steal some other quarterback from some other middling program to be able to play instead, because that's just kind of what that's the Red Raider way right now. Just pay your way to victory. But what happens when they make a bowl game and they are not able to play in it because no team will want to play them? Sorry, Texas Tech, you might have been slotted to go play in the Citrus Bowl or the Cheez-It Bowl. Get used to Birmingham, buddy.
We need a segment on this show, and not a full segment, but I guess a mini title of a segment, and you almost quote it as like, say it to me like I'm five. Make me understand this as if I'm a five-year-old, just to make it to where it's like, okay, when you're talking about laws and you're talking about college athletics, man, sometimes there's a lot of big words in here that I think I might know the answer to, and I think I might know the definition of, but you know, those are some big-time words, and when you throw a bunch of them together, you make it seem as if you're a little bit smarter than you actually are. And so we will, for now, title this segment, Teach It To Me Like I'm Five.
Christian, teach me this situation like I am a five-year-old.
Yeah. We asked our artificial intelligence friend to just, explain it to us like we're elementary school kids. And I think it's a pretty perfect example. It shows the black and white. It shows the lack of gray area. Yet it shows the true issue of this entire topic. It says, imagine that you're in elementary school and your teacher in your school has one rule. And the biggest rule of them all is don't cheat on a test. Everybody knows in the entire school that that is the biggest rule in the classroom. There are certain rules that may have a little bit of gray area of, okay, don't ask to go to the bathroom at this time. Don't do this. Don't do that. But the one thing that everybody knows is you do not cheat on a test. But one day during a test, say on Thursday afternoon, one student gets caught cheating by looking at somebody else's answers. The teacher then walks up to the principal and basically says, okay, This child just got caught cheating. And the principal says, okay, well, student, because you cheated on this test, you do not get to go on the class field trip. But then the student's parents hear about this. They then go and meet with the teacher, who just maybe happens to be the brother or the uncle of the student who cheated, in terms of the Lubbock County
connection,
and says, you know, I think that punishment is too harsh. I think that's going to really hurt his feelings. It may be difficult for him to get friends afterwards. And you don't think that that's going to affect him mentally if he can't go on this field trip? So I think he's going to go. And he is going to go on this field trip anyways. So now, all of the other students in the classroom are going, well, if cheating doesn't keep you off the field trip, then why are we following the rules? And the teacher then begins to wonder, and the principal then begins to wonder, if my biggest rule can't be overruled, or can be overruled rather, do I really have any authority at all?
You don't. And I think that is just a frustrating part of all of this, is that nothing is sacred anymore in college athletics. If I said it yesterday and I'll say it again, what happens when a team goes kind of, what, imagine if in 2023 Florida State misses the college football playoff and a Florida judge in Tallahassee County, I don't know what county Tallahassee is, truthfully, goes, actually, I'm putting an injunction. You cannot have a college football playoff without the Florida State Seminoles. And then Georgia over in Clark County in Athens goes, and a Clark County judge goes, actually, you also have to put Georgia in there.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to sign injunctions that this is a 6-team playoff because our teams are worthy.
Right. And, you know, where do we draw the line? Do we have any friends over at the Lee County Courthouse that can maybe do some things to get Auburn in the playoff, regardless of what their record is this year? I'm just saying there's because nothing is sacred. There are none of the rules that the NCAA has, or none of the rules that the governing bodies of the college football playoff, the NCAA tournaments for basketball and baseball, none of it is sacred because, quite frankly, if you can just find a friendly judge and get an injunction until after the playoffs over, because what's going to happen is even if they try and fight this, the NCAA will appeal, and they will try and fight it. What's stopping them from kind of doing what Alabama was doing with Charles Bediako and pushing the case back until, sorry, we're already done with the season, and Texas Tech, you know, we ended number four, and we made it to the Final Four of the college football playoff and won New Year's Six bowl games. What's going to stop them from doing that?
Yeah, there's been a lot of reports that have talked about something like this could take 4 to 6 months, even just to work its way to a hearing. And so, 6 months from now is December. So I'm not great, but I think that means to show you that, I mean, hell, with the calendar of college football, it feels like you're only halfway through it, but you're through the regular season at that point. And going back to the elementary school, teach it to me like I'm five, as we head to break here, off and running with the show. I don't think this is really truly about Brendan Sorsby. This individual topic is, yes, but looking at the grand scheme of things, this is about whether the NCAA is still that teacher. Are they still the ones that can apply the rules, or are they just another person sitting at the desk waiting for somebody else to go and make any sort of decision? Nobody really knows in the world of college athletics anymore. Who's in charge? What's in charge? We're just going to make our own rules, and Cam Newton, welcome back to the plans. That's all that I know. We'll take a break. We'll come back and discuss an article that was written by Cornell a couple of years ago about the damages and the problems that the public sports betting mind has damaged, or has brought, rather, to the professional sports, and now you're seeing it leak into college athletics as well. And then we will discuss, who are you truly pointing the finger at? Is it the NCAA, or is it everybody else and the professional side of things that need to take a little bit of the blame as well? We're off and running here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
This is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute, presented by Bucks Island. In 1804, two explorers set out to see what was beyond the Mississippi River. Meriwether Lewis and William Clark led a small expedition into the unknown, across mountains, across rivers, across lands no American had mapped. Along the way, they were guided by Sacagawea, a young Native American. Her knowledge helped the explorers survive. After 2 years and thousands of miles, they reached the Pacific Ocean. Their journey revealed the promise of the American frontier. One more moment that shaped the country we call home. This American Minute is presented by Bucks Island, family-owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You're on the line with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton. If you want to be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin, and we're continuing to break down the Brendan Sorsby drama that you feel like you continue to hear day after day, and new storylines that branch off of the initial storyline. And the one that we started today's show and just had a good conversation on was some of the ADs from other conferences now have begun making their opinions known about what their school will, or I guess I should say what they will not be doing, and that is scheduling the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And now there is going to be even more dilemmas and even more conversation on what will be or will not be happening for the future of scheduling in terms of what is happening in Lubbock, Texas, with their $5 million man, Brendan Sorsby. And it's something that we discussed a little bit yesterday and said that we wanted to have a little bit more time to talk about it here this afternoon. And I feel like it's the perfect time to. It's about, at what point do we point the finger elsewhere? And this is by no means saying that I am condoning whatever Texas Tech and Brendan Sorsby are doing, because I understand that it is the individual that needs to take a little bit of the blame, right?
Right.
Or I guess it is the individual that needs to take the blame for their own actions. but it feels like the NCAA is at a point right now of like, wait, people are betting on games? No, wait, that doesn't happen with us. That's the biggest rule. That's not been allowed whatsoever. Oh, but FanDuel. Oh, but DraftKings, you wanna come on and sign with us so that way we can continue to promote your brand and your companies to where at halftime of every single game you can see and the announcers will talk about the live lines of the games. But good thing the players have no access to any of that, and it just really dives up to the point of, man, who do we start pointing the finger at as well as what Texas Tech and what Brendan Sorsby are doing? And you feel like you point to the professional game, and I think this article from Cornell agrees with us.
Right, and you look at it with the idea of looking at, and I do blame the networks. You look at ESPN had a betting service up until recently. Every single pregame show, there's a segment, here's my locks of the day.
Right.
And it's just like, okay, that's fine. And maybe that does make good content, saying betting lines, something we talk about on the show, because it is good content and it's a good feel of the game. But then I look at like how other leagues address their players gambling. I look at my Lions, and Jameson Williams got suspended for multiple games for placing a bet on a sport he was not currently in. He placed a college football bet on the Wi-Fi of the Detroit Lions, and I love JMO. That's just kind of dumb, but that, you know, and he was suspended multiple games. I think Brendan Sorsby will be suspended less games for betting on his own team in the own sport that he's in, the games that he could have hypothetically played. And I know he didn't. He wasn't good enough then at Indiana to play then. But that's just very, very concerning if you're the NCAA and you look at it. I mean, and we said that this might be going on till June or December. I look at an ESPN post, an article. Texas court has scheduled Texas Tech QB Brendan Sorsby trial for the NCAA. February 8th of 2027, 2 weeks after the national championship.
What?
Right.
Man, okay, so after you play your last year and after you possibly have a national championship trophy
and after the parade
sitting
as well
next to you, you no longer have eligibility. So do with that what you will.
And the worst thing they can do is strip the banner.
My goodness. Which nobody cares about.
No one cares about. No one says that Michigan didn't win the national championship in 2023, even though I don't think that's been taken yet. Nobody says Louisville didn't win the NCAA March Madness in 2014. And nobody says that Hugh Freeze didn't beat Alabama when he was at Ole Miss.
We'll dive into this Cornell article a little bit more before we dive into, my goodness, the hater that Alex Golish, DJ Durkin, and the Auburn football staff are on when the music kicks us out when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
We continue on here on this Tuesday afternoon. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for spending some time with us here on this Tuesday afternoon. A reminder, phone lines are open here in hour number one. If you would like to be a part of any of the conversations that we have discussed and are going to continue to discuss here on the afternoon, 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. And the text box change, we will continue to update you with that over the next couple of weeks until we get that fully cemented into all of our intros and outros and everything on that side of things. But 334-784-1685, 334-784-1OTL. And text box has been lighting up here this afternoon, gotten a couple of really good texts about just the problems of what sports betting looks like. And again, the idea that you can't go anywhere, you can't watch any event without almost not even being informed about betting lines or whatever the case may be, but you almost feel left out if you don't. They push that sort of narrative and goes to show you the legitimate effects that addiction and mental health has on that side of things. And not that we want to dive into that world again, because Brendan Sorsby has manipulated that side of mental health, and we will dive into it for a second. You know what? I think it's absolutely ridiculous because, man, you talk all about the mental health side of things, and talking about if he can't play, it's going to irreplaceably, or it's going to do irreputable harm, and it's going to make it to where, man, it's going to make it even more difficult for him to overcome this problem with gambling. Is that not just a punishment? Right. Is that not just having to learn from your actions? Like, I feel like you're at the point of, man, like, you're not even allowed to... You're not even allowed to spank your kids anymore. Not that I'm speaking on that side of things as if I understand it, but talking about just the punishment side of things. It's at the point of, man, you feel as if they have more power than you do because you can just throw it on mental health. And again, that is not shining a negative light on that, but my gosh, yeah, it should be a negative thing. It should hurt you if you're not allowed to play college football because look at what you freaking did.
Right, and I think that that what's the problem is here is that we have two separate issues. One is absolutely mental health and addiction, and that, you know, he was addicted to this, and it to the point where he was betting on these college games that he was a part in, you know, and, you know, skirting the rules, which I give him sympathy on that point because, again, that is an addiction. You talk to anyone that has, you know, a lot of people that are in Las Vegas that are gambling addicts that every day they're at the poker table or they're at the roulette wheel or the slot machine. And I understand that aspect of the mental health issue. And yes, that is something 100% that needs to be addressed. And that's why he went to gambling rehab. And that is an important step in the process. But then there's the other issue of, well, the mental health is because I can't play. That just does not – again, that makes a mockery of it a little bit because it's – if
you're manipulating what is a very, very serious matter.
You should have to feel bad about that. There are things in life that you feel bad about, and that is – and you can't just, you know, if I don't get a paycheck or I don't show up to work, I don't get paid that day. I can't just go to a friendly judge in Lee County and say – Auburn Network, you actually have to pay me $1 million because if not, I'll feel bad and it'll hurt me. Like,
how do you expect me to have fun with my friends if I don't have money?
Right.
It's going to hurt me. How are you really, really bad?
How are you expecting me to go to the golf course and get angry because I'm awful at golf if I don't have money to pay for the greens fees, guys?
Fun. We're having fun.
We're having fun.
Really good text from the On the Line text box. Again, 334-784-1685. We'd love for you to join us on that side of things. Says, here's the quiet part that nobody talks out loud. 80% of the volume is on bots in terms of these, because now you're at the point of not even just placing prop bets and everything, and won't name the specific company, but I understand it of, man, you're sitting there looking at almost like a stock market in terms of betting. And so when people are trading millions of dollars per sporting event, you're not even betting against other humans. You're betting against professional bots that are set up to beat you and set up to make it where you feel bad and have to continue to put money in and emotionally connect you to everything on that side. And
right,
it's 100% accurate because, yeah, they understand the value that is in the market. And that is why it is just absurd to me that there are people in the NCAA that think that nothing will touch their precious game and nothing will dive into, man, nobody's doing that here at the college game. What do you mean? We are polishing our halos. We're doing everything that we need to be doing. And then when something like this comes out, there's not a power for it. There's no sort of reprimand. And then the judge is able to borderline ignore any of the serious matters and use that as a manipulative factor in favor of Brennan Sorsby.
I'm not gonna say I cannot wait because I don't want this to happen. But you know, you see this all at the college game is becoming having scandals the NFL had when gambling was first like the conversation. You look at the NBA, just you wait until there's a polymarket bet for where will X recruit commit, and he puts a bet that he's gonna commit to Oregon, and the Oregon stock gets pumped up, and he hypes up, I might be going to Oregon, and then rug pulls it out and goes, actually, I'm going to go to Alabama, and makes money. If you don't think an 18 to 22 year old would not balk at that money, imagine a 15 to 18 year old, 17 year old that is not going to stink twice when they're offered $1 million, have a chance to win that money by manipulating a sports betting app or some kind of, I forget what the technical word is for it, but like the prediction market app.
Yeah.
Just wait.
The unnamed prediction market app that's
right
everybody can put their say on. Real quickly, before we flip over to the positive side of things in terms of Auburn football and what they have been able to do in terms of recruiting, there has, again, there's been a article written by the Cornell Journal of Law and Public Policy. It was written last year, but my goodness, how funny is it that it ties in with everything that's going on right now. This was written around the time of the Chauncey Billups, the illegal poker ring in terms of the NBA, but it just brings back to everything that's going on right now. It's talking about teams like the WNBA, the Indiana Fever, have partnered with betting companies and individual athletes, even while facing league-imposed restrictions on their own bets, have signed lucrative deals to promote betting to the general public with prop bets and with picking on national lines and games. And this article goes into the dramatic change, it says, that was made possible by a 2018 Supreme Court decision. It was Murphy versus the National Collegiate Athletic Association, referring to a rule that was declared unconstitutional. And so as a result, the states were given back control of their own gambling laws. And that is when it made it to where, okay, after being shunned for quite some time, you are now seeing a generic ad here or there at State Farm Arena for the Atlanta Hawks, where you can walk over here and place whatever you want. Or over here, there's now a picture of an athlete's face holding whatever the case may be that promotes any sort of gambling. And then again, getting to the point where we're at now of, my goodness, you're just scrolling on Instagram or scrolling on wherever, scrolling on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, and you see these betting lines, or you see these fake betting slips of, this dude just won $221,000 on a slip that you know was not real. But it's all of that in terms of the demand for the money, the market that they know that they're in, the market that they know they can continue to dominate in because of what the college and because of what the professional world has started. There's so much that works its way within an organization. And heck, we were at a time before the poker ring that was discovered in the NBA of the NCAA wanting to partner and wanting to agree with a rule that allowed college players and college coaches and college administrators to bet on games. As long as it wasn't on your game and your team, it was perfectly fine. But as long as you're a Texas quarterback or a Texas running back, yeah, sure, you can bet on Oregon women's volleyball, but don't do it on football. And they were really about to pass something like that. And we talked about that possibly being the death of the NCAA. Thankfully, all of the NBA investigation stuff went on literally a week later, and it was, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we shouldn't go on and pass something like this. This is the reason why. This is the reason why stuff like this should not be passed, because of the exact conversation we've had now for 42 minutes in terms of now every single game that you have watched, are going to watch, and will continue to watch. In the back of your head, in the back of your mind, regardless of the outcome, it's going to be, are we sure that there wasn't any, do we need to investigate this coach?
Did Johnny Kicker for the Tennessee Volunteers, did he take a bet that they would not cover, two and a half, yeah, and lost the game because of it?
I mean, it's ridiculous. And now you're seeing even legitimate stories about Alabama State players that don't have eligibility anymore, making money on fixing games. And, I mean, it's a legitimate issue that we are shining a light on, but it just feels like there is no support for obviously the NCAA, because of whatever judge wants to go in and make any sort of reprimands or make any sort of changes, because if the NCAA says no, it doesn't matter. As long as there's one person that says yes, and basically I'm going to put an injunction to where you can't say anything and there's nothing that you're allowed to do. Who says that Cam Newton doesn't come back? Who says, I talked about it yesterday. I think it was Peter Burns that said, all right, if I'm the LSU Tigers, man, during the Cincinnati Bengals bye week, I'm going and signing Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. You know why? Because who's going to stop me? Even if it's a one-week rental, if I'm Lane Kiffin, yeah, welcome back. I'll give you a number 9. I'll give you a number 1. You put on whatever jersey you want, and you can come play for us for a week, because what are they going to do?
Right. And it's more of, again, right before we get to our good news about Auburn recruiting, I just want to say, again, what's stopping them from claiming wins or claiming that you have to include them in a playoff postseason system? What's saying that, Auburn, maybe not Auburn would do this, but, the the South Carolina Gamecocks went 2-10 this year, like next year, let's say hypothetically, but a friendly judge in South Carolina in the appellate court goes, South Carolina, congratulations, you will be heading to the SEC championship game, and you can't talk about it until June. Good luck, and go Gamecocks, Spurs up.
It's a ridiculous topic that you feel like has so many branches that it can go off of, but it's the root system that has been so poorly managed, and this is not news to anybody, that the NCAA went with these rules well before they realized the backlash and the reprimands of everything, because now you're at a point to where you've gone so far in terms of NIL, in terms of the transfer portal, and now in terms of stuff like this, to where you can't even put a stop on a player betting on his own team because he'll still be able to play college football. I know that it's an example that hurts because I remember the game right afterwards, but Todd Gurley, I remember, was suspended 4 games for selling his own autograph.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're at the point of somebody wagering on the same exact teammate to have X amount of passing yards or not and still being able to play. It's truly, out of every single tally that goes on and every single, nope, that's not allowed, nope, that's not allowed, nope, that's not allowed, now all of a sudden there's one little tally in the, yeah, what are you going to do about it? How long until that opens Pandora's box, if it hasn't already been opened? Tell you what, we'll take a little bit of an early break here. Come back, and we will tell you some good news. We promised it on the Auburn recruiting side of things. A recruit last night for the Auburn Tigers. Another one that is projected for the Auburn Tigers. They feel really good about that we can hopefully discuss on air tomorrow. We will tell you his name. We'll tell you about the commit's name. And my goodness, the absolute heater that Alex Golish and the Auburn Tigers are on. When we come back and wrap up hour number one right after this.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are On the Line with Kristen Griffin and Tripp Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Tripp Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Having a good time in the studio here this afternoon, discussing a whole lot in terms of the negatives of college football and the negatives of just what gambling has been and will continue to be for the near future until there's some sort of stop. But I don't know that there's really going to be one in terms of what the NCAA is trying to do. But enough of that conversation, and we flip over to something that is good news for the Auburn Tigers. And my goodness, when you are looking at what Auburn football recruiting has been doing over the past couple of days, I'm not going to use the word historic, but my goodness, you feel like you're at the point of, if you're not seeing a Hayes Fawcett tweet of this player committing to Auburn and seeing a full article on 247 by our guys, and I mean, hearing all about these names, it feels like a weird day, because yet again, Auburn and Alex Golish and DJ Durkin get another one. They get, last night, a four-star safety by the name of Chance Gilbert. He's a 5'11", 170-pound safety from East Coweta, Georgia, which is a big-time get for the Auburn Tigers, working their way back into the Peach State that we both know quite well. Mm-hmm. And so something that Auburn's been able to dip their toes in and go and get the players that they have wanted, especially in that Atlanta area, for quite some time. But with the dominance of Georgia, and then even just the relevancy of Georgia Tech and then Ohio State and Oregon, when NIL works its way of being able to recruit nationally, have kind of dominated that landscape. But Auburn trying to work its way back into that landscape. We've talked all about Alex Golish and that 250-mile radius around Auburn that he wants to dominate. And my goodness, you feel like he's continuing to do so. The four-star Chance Gilbert, again, 170 pounds, 5'11". A top 100 player unanimously, regardless of where you look. And he's just another tally into a really, really impressive recruiting class and continuing to check all of the right boxes before August is Alex Golish.
Yeah, Alex Golish just turning up the recruiting heat right there. Auburn up to 15th and 16th on 247. Top 11 on 3 right now. People, at certain fan bases, specifically those in the Tampa Bay area and people in the Athens and Tuscaloosa area, were saying, well, congrats, you got a G5 coach. Can he recruit? Sounds like it, because they're recruiting better than all three of those teams I just mentioned. And I think that Auburn is on a roll right now, and it might not be done. Christian, Ryan Jackson, an edge rusher, he's going to commit tomorrow. It's Auburn is the heavy favorite, according to Auburn Wire. But Virginia Tech in the hunt as well for the edge rusher, and they're trying to close the Jackson. But I think Auburn can land that one and just continue the momentum and get this program back. People, myself included, hand up, were worried, hey, Hugh Freeze brought all this talent in here, and he could recruit, and he could sell ice to a polar bear if he really needed to, and maybe that ice would turn out to be a little melted, and maybe that ice might have had been, you know, a little just dirty and all that stuff, but he could sell ice to a polar bear. But unfortunately, he could not get it done on the field, and Auburn still recruiting well despite that, with Alex Golish proving that he can be an elite recruiter if he wants to be, without even having a single play ran in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
7 commits in the last 10 days for the Auburn Tigers, 5 of them being 4 stars or higher. Again, the ratings will show you the kicker that committed to Auburn being a 3-star, but in terms of special teams guys and long snappers and place kickers and punters, their ratings only go up to a true 3-star. But a 5-star kicker, which makes it to where 5 of the 7 commits are 4 stars or higher. Again, Chance Gilbert, the most recent, the safety from the Peach State, a top 100 player unanimously, just in terms of regardless of where you look. You mentioned it, partner, up to 15th in recruiting and 247, 11th on 3. And then Rion Jackson, another one that DJ Durkin is trying to get from the state of Maryland. And many people are talking about that being one of the 7 Eagles that Alex Golish tweeted about last weekend. And so we hope to be able to shine really, really good news tomorrow afternoon. Again, I believe in 11:30 Central Time is the commitment time for Mr. Jackson. And so really, really excited for that side of things. And while we do just have about a minute or so before the music kicks us out of here, game 3 of the NBA Finals last night. I mean, my goodness, the storylines were insane, as were the ticket prices for Madison Square Garden. I mean, you would have had to sell not even your first child, maybe even your second and your third, just to try and get a ticket to this game, much less whatever college funds you had saved up. But an incredible game. The Spurs were able to silence Madison Square Garden and get back into the series.
Yeah, a close one. I was kind of hoping for the Knicks to pull it out late. Another comeback for the Knicks. Jalen Brunson, Karl Anthony Towns. OG Anunoby had a game last night as well. He had a 3 to cut the lead down to a shot. But
Karl Anthony Towns had one of the games of all time.
Yeah, that's just kind of his whole thing. But good job by, I believe it was Wembanyama, and was it Harper or Vassell that also had 20-plus points?
Yeah, Dylan Harper had an incredible game. De'Aaron Fox got it started. And yeah, how wild is it to think that the Spurs have the opportunity to even the series and make it to where all road teams win the first 4, and it basically becomes a best 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a great rest of the week in basketball. You can catch it right here on ESPN 106.7. So tune in and listen to that if you can't watch it on TV.
No better place to be. Hour number 1 in the books. Hour number 2 coming up. And something we don't have here very often, we have a full hour of soccer, a breakdown. We have a head coach. We have somebody from the athletics department joining us. A whole lot of excitement in Jordan-Hare Stadium here coming up tonight.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1067. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
A historic night for Jordan-Hare Stadium. A historic night for Auburn University. We dive into that here in hour number two.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton.
Ole, 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 ole.
Ole, ole.
Yes. Welcome in, hour number two. Here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Hey, it's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. And what an awesome show it's been so far. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. We got practice at, was this the Shinnecock that's being practiced for this weekend? I believe that's the case. Golf Central up on the TV.
Oh, no, it's the qualifying for U.S. Open this weekend.
Okay, so these are recaps. Okay.
Yes.
Which, shout out to, we'll continue to get to that throughout the week as well. We have some notes on that for later on throughout the week. But hope everybody's doing well. We appreciate everybody for being here with us as we start hour number two here on this Tuesday afternoon. Inside the ESPN 106.7 studio, again, he's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. And a really fun hour number one that we were able to dive into. Talked a lot about the Brendan Sorsby ongoing drama, the ongoing situation, and kind of the overall outlook outside of Lubbock, Texas, and how it's begun working its way throughout different conferences and throughout different schools that don't even necessarily schedule Texas Tech on the regular, but basically saying that they will not be doing it, and they are advising that the other schools will join them and will not take place in any sorts of is that Brandon?
yeah, remember, he's helping out with the drive.
He walked up to the window, and I was trying not to look at somebody, but I saw a figure just coming in and staring at me through the window. Brandon Gurgley here with us, making his way back through the doors, but talked a lot about how Big Ten schools and Big 12 schools, and now even Georgia and their athletic department, saying that they will not take place in any sort of scheduling with Texas Tech, regardless of football, even in the other smaller sports. They will not make their way to Lubbock, and the Red Raiders will not make their way to Athens, and basically advising that the other schools do the same. We also talked to them about who's the real finger that they need to be blamed at. Who's the one that's in charge? Who's the one that is going to take, outside of just the SC, or outside of just Sorsby and Texas Tech and the NCAA, and how we feel as if the professional side of things have taken a little bit of a back seat, but man, need to be a major part of the change just in the world of sports. And looked at an article from Cornell that kind of dove into that and talked a lot about how the NCAA is acting as if they're surprised that this is working its way to the forefront, and how, my goodness, I mean, when you see every single gambling ad possible, it just felt like it was a matter of time, and how there really is no charge or really no change for any sort of stoppage. We also did the explain it to me like I'm five about kids will not cheat on a test, but if they do, they can still go on the field trip because there is no regulations. Basically, ruining the sport of college football, ruining the sport of college athletics. And then we ended hour number one talking about the Auburn football recruiting heater that, my goodness, Alex Golish, DJ Durkin, and the entire staff continue to put on the display right now. 7 commits in the last 10 days, 5 of them being 4 stars or higher, adding another one last night, the possibility of adding another one tomorrow morning. That's expected to be an Auburn Tiger in the next year's class. And so really, really excited about everything that's going on the plains inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. But, you know, we spend so much time talking about Auburn as a national brand and Jordan-Hare as a national brand and the SEC championships and the postseason runs and all of the big-time moments that put Auburn on the map. But tonight is different. Tonight, Jordan-Hare Stadium is not hosting an SEC game. It's not hosting Auburn football. It's hosting the defending World Cup champions, Argentina, one of the most premier, recognizable sports brands on the entire planet. And I don't think that that needs to be overlooked on what that says about Auburn. Because when Argentina had all of their options to come across the United States for a World Cup tune-up, they chose Auburn, Alabama. They chose Jordan-Hare Stadium, and that is a big-time deal. This is not just some soccer event. This is Auburn being showcased on a global, on a national stage in front of the hundreds of thousands of fans that you feel like are making their way to Auburn right now just to be a part of it, and the 90-plus that you feel like are going to be inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. And millions of people that will be seeing Jordan-Hare Stadium throughout their TVs. They'll see Auburn's campus. They will hear Auburn's name. They will hear about Auburn University. They will hear about Jordan-Hare Stadium. And for one night, Auburn isn't just a part of the sports conversation. Auburn is the sports conversation. And whether you're a soccer fan or not, it's something that the Auburn people should be incredibly, incredibly proud of. And we are incredibly proud of this hour number two that we have for you here on ESPN 106.7. We have head coach of Auburn soccer, Coach James Armstrong, joining us on the phone lines. We also have Rhett Hobart of Auburn Athletics, the deputy AD and the head of external affairs and the chief revenue officer, to dive into everything that happened over the past couple of weeks in terms of Plainsman Park and the fan engagement, and then the side of he and the Auburn side of things and what they have had inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. And so really, really excited to be able to bring this to you, to dive into something that we don't usually spend a whole lot of time on, but my goodness, when you're looking at a moment like this, how can you not spend a whole lot of time talking about the World Cup and talking about soccer? And earlier this afternoon, we had the pleasure and the honor of sitting down with head coach of Auburn soccer, Coach James Armstrong, and this is what he had to say about not only his team, but about what this means to himself, what this means to his players, what this means to Auburn, and what this means to the game of soccer. Tonight, Auburn finds itself on an international stage. Jordan-Hare Stadium playing host to an international soccer friendly between Argentina and Iceland, bringing some of the world's best talent to the plains and shining a spotlight not only on Auburn University, but the continued growth of the sport here as a whole in the United States. And at the same time, Auburn soccer continues to build towards another season under a coach who knows Auburn very, very well, and now finding himself leading the program in charge. Joining us now to talk about his return to the plains, as well as everything happening here this evening, head coach of Auburn soccer, Coach James Armstrong. Coach, we greatly appreciate your time and appreciate you for hopping on here with us for a little bit.
Exciting times. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Yes, sir. Well, starting with the Auburn side of things, if you don't mind, Auburn is not a new place for you. You spent some time here previously, then went on to have tremendous success elsewhere in the SEC. And now that you've had some time to settle back into the plains, what has it meant personally and professionally for you to return to Auburn as the head coach? And what has stood out to you so far in year one that you're looking to build for in the future?
Great question. Well, it's an absolute privilege to be, you know, in charge of this program now. Coach Hopper was here for so many years and built a really solid foundation. And for me to get the responsibility to continue the upward trend of this program means the world to me and my family. Obviously, I have personal ties to Auburn. I got engaged here, got married here, had my little one here, had some fantastic years on the field, with the highlight being the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
The Elite Eight in 2016, my fault. To be back here in charge is beyond my wildest dreams.
Was there a moment for you when everything kind of hit home and you realized the reality of the situation that now it is your program to lead? And when did that moment really hit home for you?
Obviously, it was a big decision to leave my former team, Mississippi State, having just won the SEC championship and going 10-0 and, you know, having built that program over the previous 6 years, it was going to have to be something really, really special to make me consider leaving there. But when I got the phone call from Auburn, you know, Auburn is Auburn. I know that's kind of cheesy, but this is a place where championships can be won. The facilities, the resources, the people, the community, the Auburn family as a whole, this is a place where anybody would love to call home. So from a recruiting standpoint, it made sense. From a personal standpoint, because clearly I'm not satisfied by just winning one SEC title. My goal and why I was brought here is to compete for national championships as well as SEC titles. So it still is surreal to me, if I'm being perfectly honest, when, you know, I look out of my window and see this beautiful field, particularly at a time where soccer is at the forefront of everyone's minds. But that's why I said at the beginning, this is an absolute privilege to be given the responsibility to lead this program.
We're talking with head soccer coach of the Auburn Tigers, Mr. James Armstrong. And coach, year one on the Plains, recap that for some of our listeners and how you are trying to prepare for an even more successful year two.
Yeah, I mean, I think we say to our players, trust the process, you know, success doesn't come overnight. And, you know, like I said, Coach Hopper ran an unbelievable program, but every coach is different. They're going to bring in some new things, maybe stylistically from a play standpoint. You know, you want to adopt your own culture. And so I think we did a really good job of putting an identity in place and teaching the players, you know, this is what we consider Auburn soccer to be moving forward. This is the way that we want to do things. I think we took a big step forward, but at the end of the day, the overall record wasn't good enough. And we own that. That's on us as coaches and leading this program that we've got to do better. And so, you know, it comes down to retaining talent, recruiting talent, and then developing that talent. So, you know, I think we took a number of positive steps forward, but we need to be better overall this year in terms of results.
Coach, you hit on the recruiting, which works perfectly into my following question of when you're constructing a roster in today's college athletic standpoint. Everybody talks about the changes that you've seen over the last half decade or so. What are some of the biggest qualities that you look for and beyond just the talents on the field? Something that matches your culture, your team. What are some of those specific qualities that you look for in terms of measuring success?
Character first and foremost. You know, we say that we know what type of player and personality works best in our coaching environment. So they have to want to be coached. You know, they have to trust the process that it's success is going to take hard work. It's not just going to come overnight. So you have to really want to work hard. You want to have to compete day in, day out in training. We say, you know, train to win, compete to win the day. That is massive. And Coach Gillespie said something recently, be who you say you are.
Yeah.
Right. So in this recruiting process, these are all the questions that we're looking for answers for from these players. And then hopefully that rings true when they come on campus. Once we've figured out the character piece, they have to show that they really want to be at Auburn. We live at a time where, you know, there's money and all this kind of stuff, but we want you to come to Auburn because of all the things that Auburn can provide for you as a person, as a player, you know, and as an academic. So, you know, we're really proud of the product that we put forward. So once that happens, then you start looking at, okay, are they technically clean and capable of executing, you know, the decisions that fit your play style? And then tactically, can they solve problems, you know, in the speed of the moment, at the speed of the game that we're looking to play?
When Auburn fans come out in the fall and they come and watch your team, whether that was last year, whether that's working towards this year as well, and when you see this team and then when they run out onto the field, what is something that you hope that the fans see when they watch your team, the identity that you and your team are trying to build when they run onto the field each and every match?
I know it's a cliche, but we really mean it when we say we never want to get outworked.
Sure.
You know, particularly on our home field, you have to compete. You have to want to win for Auburn. You have to do whatever it takes within the rules. I think that's the most important thing. How quickly can we win the ball back? You know, how many loose ball duels can we win? How many headers, you know, first phase ball can we win? And then once we win that ball, can we get out of combat mode and have the composure to keep possession, but at the same time, if it's on to go forward, can we go forward quickly, effectively? Because in the game of soccer, the goal is always in front of you.
We're talking with head coach of Auburn Soccer, Coach James Armstrong. And Coach, again, we appreciate your time for hopping on the phone lines with us for a little bit here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. And Coach, we talk all about Jordan-Hare Stadium. We talk all about Neville Arena and Plainsman Park. When you're looking at the big three in terms of the recruiting for Auburn Athletics, but what is it that makes Auburn such an attractive place for soccer players and their families and all of the recruits when they make their way and they know that they want to wear the orange and blue on the soccer field?
Yeah, I would start off with the people. You know, they say the people make a place. Auburn is so welcoming. You know, everybody, when recruits come on campus, they can't believe how nice and how genuine everybody is that they meet, right? Whether it be people that work in the athletic department or people in the general community. It's clean. It's safe. When parents come, they know that their daughter, this is a place where they would be comfortable sending them to here for 4 years.
Sure.
Campus itself is beautiful. It doesn't matter whether it's spring, fall, summer. You know, you just have to walk through campus, and I do that just to remind myself how beautiful it is. You know, so from that standpoint, the buildings, all the red brick, every building looks really clean and uniform. So that's what I would say to start with. Academics is massive. You know, a lot of female soccer players are great students. The majority of them are. So a degree from Auburn is second to none. You know, if you start to look at where we rank nationally in so many different disciplines, we're right there at the very top. So that obviously helps. And then athletic facilities and resources. We have everything here that you need to be successful on and off the field. So from that standpoint, we like to say that Auburn is the complete package. And then, sorry, the final piece is the convenience of everything.
Yeah.
You know, our soccer field is almost in the middle of campus. You can walk to where we do weights in less than a minute. Where you'll do your study hall in less than 2 minutes. Where our freshman dorms are in less than 3 minutes. And then you can get from here to the other side of campus in 15 minutes. So the convenience aspect, which is so important for student athletes and time management, this is why we say Auburn's the complete package and second to none.
We're talking with head coach of Auburn soccer, Mr. James Armstrong. And coach, with the World Cup coming to the United States, the idea is hoping that the game will grow not only across the world, but specifically in the Southeast. You look at across the SEC, every team does have a women's soccer team, only two men's soccer teams at the varsity level with Kentucky and South Carolina. How do you hope that this event in Auburn, and as well as the World Cup at large in the United States, grows the game here in the States?
So many unique opportunities. You know, for us to be able to host the current world champions, they've won the Copa America the last two times. They have arguably the best male soccer player of all time playing right here at Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, Alabama, against a very disciplined Iceland team. They've been training on our field, and, you know, they're definitely taking this seriously. And in the last tune-up match for the World Cup, Messi didn't play in the last game, right? So I would hope and presume that he might get a run out here against Iceland. So just from that standpoint alone, if you'd have said, I don't know, half a year ago that this would be happening, I think, man, that'd be awesome. But I think that's crazy talk. But here we are on the day of the game, and the energy around campus, the amount of Argentina shirts we've seen, chanting, etc. It's just awesome. And then you throw in the World Cup. Obviously, America hosted in 94, mm-hmm. but that's a long, long time ago. You know, a new structure, a new format, I should say, with slightly, you know, bigger pool of teams. I think that can make it exciting, because there's the possibility of greater possibility of some, you know, upsets along the way. But just the fact that right now, soccer will be on the forefront of everyone's minds, whether they're watching it in person, whether it's on the TV. Clearly, a successful run by the American team, I think, is very, very important to keep that enthusiasm high. But it's a great time to be a fan passionate about soccer here in this country.
Coach, I think it goes without saying, but for any listeners that may not have been listening so far, clearly from England, away from the United States, and so for you, looking at something on the outside in, where soccer has been kind of woven into the culture for generations, having spent years coaching here in the United States, what has it been like to watch the growth of the journey since you mentioned the last time that the United States held a prestigious cup in a tournament like this, and where do you think the game can go from here once you see what happens after this year?
Yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate that my first job when I moved to America was actually working for the U.S. Soccer Federation.
That's awesome.
In Chicago at their headquarters. So I got to see all aspects, right? I got to see the men's side, the women's side, and then, of course, the youth teams, coaching education, referee education. So just to see some brilliant minds that were so passionate about the growing the game of soccer, that really impressed me from day one, right? So to see where we have come, particularly in the women's game, you know, now we have two professional leagues in America for women, which I think is fantastic. And now to see Pochettino, you know, somebody that's a really well-known name,
yeah,
leading the U.S. team. I think there's some really exciting young talent. I think a lot of countries may underestimate the U.S. I think the climate, the familiarity with the climate is going to really help them as well. But like I said, you know, just seeing how many young players are playing the game now, regardless of the area of the country, you know, everybody that's been a part of it should be very proud of that.
Head coach of the Auburn Tigers on the softball side of, or the soccer side of things, apologies, Coach James Armstrong here with us on the phone lines. And Coach, if somebody is making their way to Jordan-Hare Stadium tonight and maybe doesn't follow soccer regularly and keep up with the names, they know the generic, they know the numbers and the names on the back, but what is one thing that you hope that they walk away appreciating about the game that you love?
I think it's going to be a completely different atmosphere than has ever been seen before in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Jordan-Hare Stadium is the most electric stadium I have ever been to, regardless of sport. But the chanting and the drums and the vuvuzelas, I just think, you know, for American sports fans to see the chanting, etc., I think that's going to be a really unique experience. I think, obviously, watching Argentina and the athleticism and the skill and the speed by which they're going to play tonight, and then the tenacity of the Iceland team that clearly will be the underdogs. I think it's a really great matchup, and I don't know this for a fact, obviously, but I presume that the Argentina coach is going to try some different things than the last game that they played the other week. So I think, you know, the final tune-up is going to be really important for those Argentina players to leave a positive, lasting impression before the first game of the World Cup, when the coach is going to have to pick a starting lineup for real.
Coach, I think that your voice needs to be used to hype up other sports, because you're getting us fired up over here and talking about Jordan-Hare Stadium, talking about the energy and the excitement. If we can ever help out with that, we'll get you where you need to go in terms of firing up the Auburn fan base. Coach James Armstrong here with us on the phone lines. Coach, we appreciate your time, for taking the time to join us. We look forward to seeing Auburn soccer back on the pitch here this fall. Enjoy tonight's event and best of luck as you continue preparing for next season.
Thank you, gentlemen, and War Eagle.
Head coach of Auburn soccer, James Armstrong, here with us on the phone lines. And man, what a cool opportunity it is. I know it's something that we are going to continue to have him here on the phone lines, especially as you work your way towards the fall, being able to promote his team, his players, and just Auburn soccer in general. Because again, there is a whole lot of excitement that happens on the pitch, and Auburn soccer deserves to be a part of that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have a very short segment with some baseball news outside of Auburn, Alabama, but how it could affect the Tigers in the future before we continue this conversation, but look at it a little bit more from the professional side of things. Really excited, man, that we're able to talk about Argentina and Iceland inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. We'll take a break here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton. If you want to be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. And we're talking to a guy now who we are very, very appreciative of taking the time to join us here this morning. Somebody that has been very, very instrumental in the success of Auburn athletics, both inside and outside the lines. My goodness, if you've been to a sold-out Neville Arena, a packed Plainsman Park, or tonight, the Road to 26, chances are his team has had a major hand in making all of this happen. Mr. Rhett Hobarts, the Auburn Deputy Athletic Director for External Affairs and the Chief Revenue Officer, we appreciate you for taking the time to join us and really excited that you're here with us on the phone lines.
Good morning. Great to be with you all.
Well, we wanted to go ahead and dive into the baseball side of things, because when you're looking at just Auburn athletics as a whole right now, it feels like there's a lot of momentum that continues to be built in all of the sports, but baseball being that picture as of late. Talk a little bit generically, if you would, before we dive into the regional and the super regional, everything that you were able to do for the Auburn fans and just how you are seeing all of this momentum continue to grow and the excitement build throughout all of Auburn athletics.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been, you know, we just had our men's golf team win their second national championship in three seasons. And obviously, our women's tennis team, incredible year this year, playing for the national championship, coming down to the wire in that match in Athens just a few weeks ago. And then incredible opportunity and momentum with Coach Golish he has right now in building our football program and the growth we're seeing there. Going to be an incredible year ahead. Obviously, Stephen Pearl's team coming back and building to an incredible year this coming year as well. So momentum across the department, absolutely. And obviously the last couple of weeks has been an incredible experience at Pleasant Park with Coach Thompson, the program he's built with Auburn baseball, back-to-back number four national seeds, hosting super regionals in back-to-back years. And the incredible nucleus he has in the program that's coming back next year too. If you look at how sophomore-laden this class was this year and the talent on that field, you return really every single starter in terms on the mound, and then generally speaking, almost all of your starting lineup as well. So really incredible opportunity he's building, and what he accomplished with that class being freshmen and sophomores in the last 2 years to what we hope next year with the class being juniors.
What is it like for you and your group of people watching Plainsman Park evolve into one of the premier environments in college baseball, and knowing that your group has the creativity to continue to build? We've seen all of the general admission, all of the back 40, everything that goes into making Plainsman Park even better than it already is, and continuing to do that, continuing to make it, man, a national stage, and you feel like you've continued to build that success. I mean, three straight record-setting crowds over the last three games inside of Plainsman Park. Ultimately, the end result didn't go the way that we were hoping, but the excitement on that side of things, what is it like when you hear Plainsman Park is going to be a host for a regional and a possible super regional?
Man, it's incredible. And, you know, it just shows you somewhat the program Butch's built. We've hosted for the last 5 years of regionals, the last 2 years in super regionals, obviously a College World Series appearance in 22. So just incredible stability in the program right now as well. But it's become a home field advantage, a true home field advantage for our team. Playing inside Plainsman Park and the incredible atmosphere the Auburn family has created. Like you mentioned, we had three straight days there in terms of games of Monday with 8,228 fans, an all-time record for Plainsman Park in game seven of the regional, defeating Milwaukee, and then going into the super regional, not just beating it, but beating it by over 2,000 fans with over 10,000 present for two straight nights, two back-to-back record crowds at Plainsman Park, and really an incredible experience. Obviously, not the end result we all hoped for, but really an incredible experience in Plainsman Park with our our young team facing a senior-laden Ole Miss team that came in hot as well. And so, again, incredible experience. Our team in Auburn Athletics has been incredible in trying to find ways to continue to grow and improve our fan experience in all of our venues. But specifically, if you look at Plainsman Park over the last few weeks, in the end, we end up adding about 3,000 spots for general admission growth in the ballpark. From outside in the back 40 deck in the outfield, we had over 2,000 out there. And then if you look in the park, we grew that significantly as well. To be able to take our capacity from about 6,000 to 7,000 in the regular season to over 10,000 here for Super Regionals.
We're talking with Mr. Rhett Hobart of the Auburn Athletic Department and the man behind Plainsman After Dark. I want to talk to you about that Sunday night. You're into weather delay and you have to play Milwaukee game two, the first game of the regional final. Tell me about that experience, what you learned and kind of the story behind that atmosphere, because it was one of the most electric in college baseball that I've ever seen.
It was. I agree with that. You know, that day was interesting. Obviously, look, when you host a regional in a super regional, you know, the NCAA brings in site reps and they really control the, game start times, game operation of those kind of things. You can manage the venue, but they control when a game is stopped, when a game is started. And if you look at Sunday, it wasn't the most pleasant in terms of stoppages and resumptions of play. You know, we had an instance where we started a game, and we had to stop it within an inning. And so, as we looked at this throughout the day, especially earlier in the day, in the first game on Sunday, I was really concerned in terms of how do we make sure that, you know, if this delay ends up being 2+ hours, which you thought it might, how do we make sure we say thank you to our fans who are sticking out with us mm-hmm. and stay in the ballpark? And so, you know, we did a promotion earlier this year for a game where we really, really dropped beer pricing and hot dog pricing and sold a crazy number of both of those items. And so during the first weather delay on Sunday, we said, you know what, let's drop the pricing of hot dogs and beer. And I'll tell you, that's not a simple feat
sure.
To do. We have to basically underwrite the cost of those things with our concessions partner to make it work. But it was worth it for us to make sure that the fan experience is positive in the venue. And so during that first weather delay on Sunday, we said, you know what, let's drop it to the midweek pricing we use for every midweek game, which is basically half price beer and hot dogs. Ends up being roughly $5 for beer and $2.50 for hot dogs. And so we go that delay, we start selling a lot. People are staying in the ballpark. And then we have another lightning strike, which means at least 30 more minutes of delay. And we saw a massive front coming in from the Montgomery area. And so we said, well, we might be here a while. What if we drop it again? So if you were in the ballpark, we had some fun with the announcement. And we said, you know, we have some bad news to share, some good news to share. We said, the good news is we just cut the price of beer and hot dogs again to $2.50 beer and $1.25 hot dogs. And the stadium cheered, went crazy. And then we said, but we're a weather delay. And everybody booed. So it was kind of fun. And then we just kept that going all night. So we win the first game with the momentum that first game of Sunday and had the stadium full. And then it was incredible to me starting a game at like 11:10 p.m. There was more fans in the venue for the start of game two of that day at 11 o'clock than there was when we finished the first game of the day.
Wow.
And so we sold, I think, almost 5,000 beers. We sold over 4,000 hot dogs. And it was an incredible atmosphere in the venue. And so we did make sure those promotions continued for the Super Regional. And we had those promos running all both games, Friday and Saturday night in Plainsman Park.
Plainsman Park after dark. I think that it's officially coined, and I would be very surprised if that's not something that works its way into the very near future with Auburn baseball. Were you the mastermind behind the coffee as well? Because I know that that was a major hit. I had two cups myself, and you mentioned the electricity just inside of Plainsman Park. I mean, you got to take a little bit of credit for the caffeine that was juicing up Plainsman Park.
We got a good team here. Right? Called our concessionaire and I said, how quickly can you get hot coffee going here? And they said, well, we'll go get it going. So we had a good team effort that had the idea and knew we need some caffeine for 11 o'clock first pitch.
That's awesome.
Rhett Hobart here with us, the Auburn Deputy Athletic Director, man, the one that you know of that has his hands in just about everything in terms of fan engagement, making sure that the Auburn family can be as big of a part as they possibly can for all athletic events. And how cool is it now that you are able to kind of shift your gears into, yes, making sure that Jordan-Hare Stadium is a quote-unquote hostile environment in terms of just fans and bringing so much energy and engagement to a historic match that is coming to Auburn, Alabama, Jordan-Hare Stadium, a national stage. Tonight, Argentina and Iceland, your thoughts when this first came out and how Auburn was able to make it happen, how Auburn was able to almost get that bid of being a historic site for such an important match.
Yeah, we started working on this over a year ago. And so
wow.
I think when you're looking at how you find ways to bring incredibly unique experiences to our venues to benefit the Auburn family, our season ticket holders, but also the Auburn Opelika and broader Alabama and Southeast community with unique events. Look, we're also at a time, it's no secret, we're at a time right now when revenue growth matters. Like, it's to support your teams and build the best rosters right now, you have mm-hmm. to drive revenue. And we want to find ways to do that without always having to drive the price of Auburn athletic events. So the idea being, how do you bring events in that can support and bring in additional revenues for you to support the department, to support the benefit of your teams and building your rosters, that then does not require you as much to go and increase the cost of Auburn, you know, sporting event tickets. And so when you see an event coming to the U.S. like the World Cup and knowing that's coming and knowing Atlanta is going to be a host site, over a year ago we started working on this and we told basically the promoters that work with these teams, hey, we want a chance to host one of these groups in Jordan-Hare Stadium. We worked on that bid process for months. And then in December following the draw, seeing where everyone got placed, we were approached by the promoter that said, would you like to have Argentina? And we jumped on that the minute we got called about that opportunity. probably the biggest single, you know, soccer brand in the world, with the biggest single soccer player brand-wise in the world, with Lionel Messi. So it was pretty surreal last night, standing on Pat Dye Field in Jordan-Hare Stadium and watching Messi get off the bus and walk onto the playing surface. Pretty incredible for their training last night. So it has been incredible. The response from the Auburn family, from the Southeast, from the world, and buying tickets has been incredible. We are very, very near a sellout right now. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere tonight inside Jordan-Hare Stadium.
We're talking with Mr. Rhett Hobart of Auburn Athletics, and you mentioned the soccer match. You mentioned there is some availability remaining. How does the listener that's listening to this that wants to catch this once-in-a-lifetime spectacular in Jordan-Hare Stadium, how are they able to find tickets? And tell me a little bit more info about that.
Yeah, so we have about 2,500 tickets remaining right now out of the 88,000 we can sell inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. It's going to be a pretty full house tonight. But again, there is about 2,500 tickets left right now. There actually is some lower level tickets left in the in both end zones. Those tickets are only $78 a piece. So if you're looking at World Cup ticket prices across the U.S., a $78 ticket is incredibly cost effective compared to what you might see with $500, $800, $1,000 tickets across the country for the World Cup. So AUBTIX.com. You can go to AUBTIX.com. You can buy tickets for as low as $78. And if you want to splurge and have an incredible experience as well, there are even field-level seats still available. I think we have 8 field-level seats total available. Those are, I think, roughly $600 a piece. So be blowing it out to do that at field level, but you'd be face-to-face with Messi here on the where I'm standing right now on the playing surface. But you can get in the door tonight for $78 at AUBTIX.com.
And for those that make their way to Jordan-Hare Stadium on Saturdays in the fall, we know that the playing surface a little bit different, had to make a couple of changes. What are fans going to expect? Some of the differences in looking at a football field versus a pitch in terms of a soccer friendly here tonight?
Even as I'm standing on it, it's kind of crazy to see a soccer field painted here on Pat Dye Field. Pretty kind of a surreal thing to see. There are a few changes we had to make. We had to widen the field slightly in a couple of areas. So a soccer pitch is, in this regard, is wider than our football field. It's 72 yards wide. Soccer pitches can be different widths. But when we got this match, one thing we committed to Argentina was that we are their last match before they go try to defend their reigning World Cup title. And so they wanted to have the dimensions of the field be exactly what they're going to face in their first World Cup match. So for this friendly, we did make sure that we could adjust our field to have the exact proportions they're going to experience in their first game in the actual World Cup this weekend. And so we had to make some minor adjustments to that. One area we had to widen was the visiting sideline for football. We had to remove some of the hedges inside the fence, not the large hedges, but the interior hedges to make the field wider. We actually were going to have to do that anyway for football this fall, being that our north end zone construction project has begun, which now precludes the ability to get large visiting equipment trucks into that north parking lot until the project is concluded. So as you're thinking about these visiting football teams who bring in legitimately 18-wheelers full of equipment that have to now get that across the entire field from the south to the north, from where the equipment truck will park for the next two seasons, and then roll them to their locker room in the north end zone, we were going to have to put a sidewalk in along the sideline for the next 2 years to get that equipment down there already. The timing actually worked out well for us on this. And then once the North End Zone project is completed, we will add those hedges back along the visiting sideline.
And then in terms of the Auburn excitement, we know there was a whole lot of rave when we found out the confirmation of the Eagle flight before the game. Is that something that the players are going to be on the field? Are they going to see it, or have they been able to take that in during any practice? Because, I mean, we talk about a once-in-a-lifetime friendly inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium for them. I mean, an Eagle flight is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity as well.
Kind of funny quick story here. So last night I'm standing on the field about 5:45, and Argentina was arriving for their training, and their coaching staff was arriving and starting to set up the playing surface with all the equipment they're going to have for their 6 p.m. training last night. And Southeast Raptor Center walks out for their practice run because they wanted to fly the Eagle with the LED screens in at field level because they're quite bright and quite distracting to make sure the Eagle was going to be able to successfully fly in here and not do it the first time tonight. They did a practice flight last night with all the LEDs at full brightness at field level. And I noticed that the Argentina coaching staff was standing in the tunnel just in awe with their phones out videoing the eagle fly around the stadium and land at midfield. So they did see that last night when they were in there preparing for training, and it will happen tonight. So tonight, if you're looking at it, roughly 7:30 p.m. Is when all the festivities will start, thinking about all the traditional soccer pageantry you see in the World Cup and across the world. And the Eagle flight will be much closer to the start of the match, which will be closer to 8 p.m. tonight.
That's awesome. Awesome to see that they're going to be able to be a part of it and have been a part of it. Mirat, we appreciate your time, again, for making this happen on very, very quick notice here today. And final question for you before we let you get out of here. Just when you're looking at what this soccer match is, and we know it as, and try to compare it to a Saturday in the fall when there's 100,000 people and millions watching on TV, how awesome is it to think, you mentioned the brand of Argentina, you mentioned the brand of just Messi in himself, of being present, whether or not he plays in real time or not, but just the brand that he has and the fact that it's Auburn, Alabama, it's Jordan-Hare Stadium, that is a national brand for millions and millions in this country and across the entire world that are going to be tuned in tonight. What does that mean for Auburn University, and what does that mean for the Auburn family?
You can't put yourself on a bigger global stage than a moment like this. If you think about this, this match tonight will be broadcast globally. Legitimately globally on ESPN and ESPN Deportes across the world. If you think about those who are going to be present for the match, we have sold tickets across 47 U.S. states and 12 countries.
Wow.
We know for a fact, based on our ticket data, that we have over 30,000 buyers who have never previously bought a ticket for an Auburn athletic event.
Wow.
So think about the people who are going to be here experiencing Jordan-Hare and maybe even the community of Auburn for the first time. What an incredible opportunity to showcase how special a place this is, how special of an experience Jordan-Hare Stadium is, and to showcase it on the world stage on ESPN, ESPN Deportes. You know, I think one thing that's going to be even just unique is, as a part of our negotiation, we made sure that we actually were able to secure some of the field level LED signage sponsorship activations for the university. So every time you see on a soccer match, the field level wraps around the field lighting up with sponsors, you're actually going to see Auburn University promote on that throughout the game as well to a worldwide stage.
Wow.
Just to promote how unique of a place Auburn is, and then also be promoting Auburn Opelika as a community as well. So what an incredible chance to experience this. We are told, as of last night, the expectations that Messi is going to play at least some minutes. He did not play in the College Station event on Saturday. And with this being the last chance to train the team before the World Cup begins, they expect him to get some minutes tonight. Just don't know how many just yet.
Man, what an opportunity. No place like Jordan-Hare Stadium, no place like Auburn, Alabama. Auburn, Deputy Athletic Director for External Affairs and the Chief Revenue Officer, Mr. Rhett Hobart, here with us on the phone lines on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Again, my friend, we greatly appreciate your time for making this happen for us. I know that the Auburn family has been so, so appreciative of everything that you and your team has been able to do over the past couple of weeks with Plainsman Park, and now with the match going on tonight and everything that's up and coming in the future. Greatly appreciate your time. We look forward to a fantastic evening, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.
War Eagle, thanks for the opportunity.
That was Rhett Hobart joining us on the phone lines earlier this morning. Again, a very, very busy man, and so we are very appreciative of his time and being able to take the time to join us and inform us and just give us his knowledge of everything that has happened over the past couple of weeks. A very, very busy couple of weeks, but for somebody like him, he lives for opportunities and moments like this, and so it's going to be really, really cool to see everything fall into place here tonight. We will come back, or we will take a break, rather. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are On the Line with Kristen Griffin and Tripp Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Back here wrapping up the show here on ESPN 106.7. On the Line, Tripp Upton, Christian Griffin here, taking you the rest of the way, man. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. And what a cool hour number two it was, being able to dive into not only the match itself, but how it came to be, and also a little bit of Auburn soccer in there as well. Greatly appreciate Coach James Armstrong, the head coach of Auburn soccer, taking the time to join us a little bit earlier, again, being able to dive into everything in terms of Auburn soccer, in terms of what he was able to do before stepping away and taking the job at Mississippi State, now coming back and the expectations in year one and now in year two of what he hopes to be able to accomplish, also what his thoughts were just in terms of the fantastic events that's taking place inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium here tonight. And then Rhett Hobart with Auburn Athletics, the deputy AD and the head of external affairs and the chief revenue officer. Again, the man that you know very well. Making sure that the fan engagement is where it needs to be. And you saw that in full effect in Plainsman Park over this past couple of weekends with the discounted, the beer and the hot dogs, which he mentioned, but also just the additional seating, the general admission, and everything that goes on that side of things. Again, him and his team are absolutely incredible, making sure that Plainsman Park, Neville Arena, Jordan-Hare Stadium are at its peak whenever it needs to be. And then being able to get his insights on how this came to be in terms of the Auburn side, and then everything that it means for Auburn to be on a global scale here tonight. Really, really cool. Appreciate both of those gentlemen for joining us here in hour number two.
Yes, it was an exciting chance to be able to talk to them and kind of preview this game tonight, which will be, as he said, will be broadcast live on ESPN and ESPN Deportes, and you will be able to see all that on their social medias. But if you're in town and you want to, I highly suggest stopping by Jordan-Hare Stadium tonight. You get to see Messi, you get to see Argentina, you get to see Iceland. There's no other better way to spend a Tuesday night than in Jordan-Hare Stadium, which is kind of weird to think about.
And don't use this as your official source, but we have seen across social media of Argentina's head man talking and saying that he doesn't know the amount of minutes, but that he is fully expecting Messi to play tonight. And so that will be really, really cool to be able to, again, see arguably the best of his sports and one of the biggest athletes in the entire world take place and step foot inside Jordan-Hare Stadium on Pat Dye Field, and to be able to legitimately see minutes and play. Could you imagine just what the opportunity of that being, a goal being scored for Messi and Jordan-Hare Stadium? I mean, you want to talk about one of the biggest moments and the loudest moments ever? I mean, it's going to be absolutely incredible. But what a Tuesday afternoon it was here from 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7. A lot of Brendan Sorsby talk, a lot of Auburn football recruiting, and then again, the fantastic, the historic, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that Auburn has to host the Road to 26, Argentina and Iceland. We will be there tonight, and we're back tomorrow, 2 to 4, here on ESPN 106.7. Again, sports are better with opinions. And whether you hate them, whether you love them, we will be back to talk about them tomorrow, and we hope that you'll be there to join us.